The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, from the art of photography to the art of letter writing, I'm sure there are many children around the country this morning rejigging their letters to Santa after the Late Late Toy Show last night. But could we all learn a thing or two from how they compose their letters? Our reporter, Shifra Mulqueen, thinks so. Have a listen.
I did my letter just like a few nights ago. I put it in the fireplace and it went up the chimney and it went to the North Pole to Santa.
When Santa Claus gets your letter, you know what he will say.
So what I always start off is, "Dear Santa, I've been very good this year. Can I have some presents because I only want a few stuff this year?"
Children from Ennis National School in County Clare were getting ready to post their letters to Santa this week. Managing Director of the Communications Clinic, Owen Tomás McDermott, says we can learn a thing or two from them.
I think if you look at it from a business context, the questions we have to ask ourselves when we're writing any sort of communication, whether it is a letter or an email, well, it's who is it going to, what's the objective, what's the tone of it, and what reassurance do I need to provide to achieve the objective that I want? When we're reflecting on letter writing, it actually can be very useful to go back to the letter we wrote to Santa Claus as a child ourselves.
"Hi Santa, I want baby doll shoes and a toy makeup table.
I'd like to get an Irish jersey and for March."
"I usually ask for surprises because I like surprises because it blows your mind."
Being polite is always a good policy when putting anything in writing, because God knows where it may end up. One of the things that can be hard to do but can be important to do is that idea of really personalising the communication to the person that's receiving it. So rather than a generic "how are you" and "what's going on," it can actually be very useful and very important for the relationship to include some insights and understanding that you may have of them, whether that is of recent holidays, or if you know that they've had conjunctivitis, why not ask about that? Or their dog, or their cat, or maybe even their reindeer.
I would say, "Dear Santa, how is everyone in the North Pole?
How is the elves doing? How's the reindeers doing?"
I ask him, "Does Mrs. Claus snow?"
And then get down to business and ask for what you want.
The US Army have a line that they refer to in their letter writing that they call BLUFF, B-L-U-F, bottom line, up front. And they apply this because they're working in a very time-poor situation where they need to make decisions quick, and that any faffing about reading unnecessary information is time-wasting.
"A strategy to get Santa to, like, give you the best presents is put your most wanted presents on the top and then the ones that, like, they're okay to get at the very bottom."
Having said that, politeness, buttering up, may actually be needed when you're dealing with Santa Claus or Larry in the office.
You don't want to say, "Give me the present or else." So the key is to get Santa on your good side at the start of your letter so he gives you more stuff than you want. So Santa, I heard that you have a six-pack now.
I would leave him a compliment and say he's looking really young for his age. I'm not saying he's old and he's not elderly. He's in great shape because he flies around the world. I think he's kind of young but a bit old, kind of like 30, 35. So.
Yeah, that's ancient.
Robert Cialdini wrote a fantastic book called The Science of Influence, where he looked at what drives influence. And one of the principles of influence he found was reciprocity. That idea that if you do something for me, I'll probably do something for you.
Like you might say on your letter, "Okay, Santa, I will leave. There'll be cookies waiting for you and I'll give you an extra carrot for the reindeer." You both might get what you want. It's like a business deal, yeah?
You have to, like, trade a bit, and I get my presents and he gets his cookies. That's a fair trade.
And I leave him a little thank you letter.
Once I left the carrot out for Rudolph, and Rudolph, would you believe, came in my apartment and ate the carrot and left it on the couch. He made a real mess because there was, like, carrot spitted everywhere.
it was the early 1990s. Personal computers hadn't really become household common things. And I wrote at the time, and my handwriting isn't the best. A friend of mine just bought me an old typewriter. It perfectly fit the narrative of mine of these romantic notions of Ernest Hemingway and Jack Kerouac and J.D. Salinger writing on these typewriters and having notions about myself, thinking that I was going to be the next one of them.
From writing letters in business to running a business writing letters, Leo Malloy of Vintage Typewriters Ireland restores old typewriters and provides a letter writing service.
My studio is, it's basically one wall is just floor to ceiling shelves of typewriters. And at the very back wall, there's my workbench where I spend most of my time. It is very much a place I can just get lost in, the mechanical version of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And I was very surprised that there's a huge demand in analog writing machines, vinyl records, film photography. They're all experiencing a resurgence. It's a way to slow down and disconnect from modern conveniences. Remove yourself from the distractions that you would get on a computer or on your phone. I expected it to be young hipsters, wannabe writers, people, you know, with a badge of coolness on them by having a vintage typewriter. Surprisingly enough, about 70 to 80% of what I do is for children between the ages of 9 and 13. It's especially this time of year. This time of the year, I work very, very closely with Santa. They're showing an interest in creating and writing, and I've gotten numerous. My 11-year-old daughter wants to write a novel, and she wants a typewriter to write it on, which I think is fascinating. I didn't expect this huge portion of the market to be young people. It's renews my faith in humanity a little bit. There can be up to 1,800 moving parts in a typewriter. So there's a lot of links and springs and levers and gears and pulleys. And it's amazing how a little 1 centimeter spring can just, if that goes missing or gets disconnected, the typewriter just doesn't work. I type letters for people. A fella who wanted me to type his best man speech as a gift to his brother. When you're sitting at one, you're there for one purpose only, and that is to put your thoughts on paper. It's just paper, ink, and your imagination. If you come into my studio, and because I'll have the radio on, I'll just type what I'm hearing on the radio. So it might be the news headlines, and then there'll be song lyrics, and I just kind of try and keep up with them, just so that I'm typing to road test the typewriters. You know, Bob Dylan would be my favorite artist.
But don't think twice, it's all right.
You know, there's the tactile feeling of the keys. There's that clack and that click, the swoosh when you return it. There's the ring of the bell at the end of the line. There's something more than just background noise to them. There's something that is very kind of nearly therapeutic. This fantastic one, I've never worked on it. It's a Bartlett that a woman just dropped off to me. And I think it's 1925, but her grandfather worked for the World Health Organization. It was his typewriter. Even in the case, it has passenger tickets for liners to India and Sri Lanka. Things like that, the little gems that I love.
But how did festive letters spark the Christmas card industry? Historian Dr. Nikki Carter.
The first commercial Christmas card was created in 1843, and it was commissioned by a man called Sir Henry Cole. And Sir Henry Cole was a civil servant, and he was very famous because he actually helped found the Victoria and Albert Museum. Victorian etiquette required responding to absolutely every letter that you got. So he found himself far too busy and decided that he had to kind of come up with something. So he got on to his friend, J.C. Horsley, and he said to him, could you possibly, you know, maybe draw me something that I can use as a card? And that's what it was born out of. It was basically born out of laziness and the necessity to write something, but not wanting to write a full letter. He had about 2,050 printed and they sold for a shilling, which was actually very expensive at the time. But Cole had an ulterior motive because he had helped introduce the penny post 3 years earlier. So now you had to buy a Christmas card and, of course, a stamp. So he was feeding into the commercialisation of Christmas in 1843.
But Owen gives us this final word of warning if you're planning to send anything.
We need to remember the old Christmas song, you better watch out, you better not cry. And the things we really need to watch out for in case we do start crying, or more worryingly, the person reading it starts crying, are our typos. that things like predictive text don't suddenly warp what is a relatively innocuous text message to something scandalous that could end you up in front of HR. I have even been on the receiving end where my name is in a CRM system as Mr. McDormat, which does not give myself a great boost or my level of confidence a great boost.
If I'm typing someone a note and I make a mistake, I just backspace over it, hit a few X's, exit out, and then just carry on. So there's going to be those imperfections, a slight, but I think if that adds a little bit of charm that everything typed on the typewriter is unique. Nobody's perfect.
But some people will try their best.
I would tell Santa that I've gotten better from when I was a junior infant.
Were you on the naughty list in junior infants?
I'm just saying I've gotten better and better and better during the year. You get the bag of coal and it never happened to me. Ever.
You better not cry. Better not pounce. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Very, very lovely. Shifa McQueen reporting there.